and this tears going fall away, fall away. Oh, may the last one burn into flames. Freedom, freedom, I can't move.
What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? How y'all doing today? I hope you're having a most excellent Thursday. I know I'm enjoying these near summer-like temperatures. Folks, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is Thursday at the top of the hour, and so I'm always excited to be joined by a very special guest host, one of the most reasonable men ever to run for elected office. His name's Tom Paulswitz. He's a Navy veteran, a small business owner, and a two-time congressional candidate in Wisconsin's 5th Congressional District. So we're very excited and happy to happily welcome Tom back to guest host. Today, we also have a couple of additional guests. Joe Fox from Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin is going to join Tom and I at 2:30. We're going to talk about turning out the youth vote. And of course, we've got Maggie and the Millionaires talking money at the 3 o'clock hour. Today, we're going to be joined by Peter Goodman. He is the New York Times global economics correspondent. And he wrote a book, a couple of them. First book is called The Davos Man, How the Billionaires Devoured the World. And his newest book, How the World Ran Out of Everything Inside the Global Supply Chain. We're going to talk about the global supply chain, what it means for wages, what it means for our economic well-being. Are we still susceptible to supply chain disruptions? We'll talk about that with New York Times global economics correspondent Peter Goodman at 3:30. I'm really happy that she can still make it on the show today. We're going to be joined by the candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Dr. Kristen Lierley, just hours before she's going to get on the stage with Vice President Harris in Green Bay. Dr. Lierley is going to be giving comments with the vice president today at that rally. So excited to talk to her. And last but certainly not least, I'm going to be joined by White House spokesperson Frederica Applewhite at 3:50 today to talk about public service workers' student debt cancellation. That promises to be really important. Press conference this morning at the White House, both the president and the vice president issuing statements. Again, this is not about student debt relief writ large. It's specifically focused on people who work in public service for an extended period of time and debt cancellation for folks, again, that didn't go chase the big bucks in the private sector, but decided to not grasp the golden ring, but to go work in service to each and every one of you in the public sector. So really excited. We got a great show. But Tom, thank you again for joining me to guest host this first hour of the show.
Always my pleasure. You have a great lineup. You know, the student loan thing is very interesting to me because, you know, you having been in the public field, the pay is not comparable to the private sector. And then the idea that you are giving back to the public, there should be something in return. So it just seems like that should be a no-brainer, but it's still, there's a whole bunch of people who are opposed to it because people signed on and should have to pay.
Well, and there's lots of interesting dialogue around that, and there are certain requirements that have to be met. Yes. It's basically a decade's worth of near continuous public service. So it's not the folks that do the revolving door. It's a decade of continuous public service to even qualify. There's a whole bunch of other restrictions that are built into that potential student debt cancellation. So I'm thrilled to be able to talk about that and see what the president and vice president were announcing today.
That'll be awesome.
But Tom, given that you're a small business owner and that you've worked in finance for a long time, and given that I'm an economist, I thought, gee whiz, it would be very interesting for you and I to dig into some of the very bizarre back and forth that occurred at the Chicago Economic Forum on Tuesday. This is Donald Trump getting interviewed by, I think he's the managing editor of like The Economist. This guy has been around for a long time. He's not a particularly political gentleman. He's a British guy. He's very restrained. And just the exchanges were, in short, extraordinary. Tom, what was your overall vibe check on that interview? I know you watched most of it, if not all of it. I mean, it was an oddity, to be sure, was it not?
But it was typical Trump. It was, I know best. I could probably do the Fed's job. I could probably, you know, run the economy better than anyone. If everyone just does what I say, it'll be good for everybody, which is astounding, right? And you already know this, Maggie. I'm preaching to the choir here. But the economy is made up of so many different pieces and so many moving parts. And having it all play together, but getting, you know, making sure there are, you know, no restrictions on it, making sure there's a free flow of information, there's a whole bunch of things that get in the way. And, you know, I'm of the understanding that both parties sometimes are at fault for what happens with the economy. Mm-hmm. But if you can just get out of the way and allow people to do what they need to do with what I would say very good guardrails, it just makes a heck of a lot more sense. But yes, that it was astounding to watch. And still, a majority of people think that Donald Trump will do better in the economy than Kamala Harris. And it's astounding to think that.
Yeah, respectfully to folks that have that opinion, it's not a well-informed one. And I say that in as a matter of fact. You can vote based on your feelings. You can vote based on sound bites from candidates, or you can look at what people who have spent their lives dedicated to the study of economics and, frankly, the vibrancy of the U.S. economy have said, from conservative economists to liberal ones. And they basically have a universal opinion about Donald Trump's economic plans. And that is, it will add somewhere in the ballpark of $7 to $15 trillion to the US deficit. That is, it is likely to plunge us into a recession. It is likely to drive up tax costs somewhere in the ballpark of $2,500 to $4,000 a year for most middle-class families, and 95% of us will see the lower earning 95% of us will see an increase in our taxes, while the top 5% of income earners will see their taxes go down. It is likely to slow or hamper manufacturing. Again, these are not my opinions. These are the opinions of economists across the ideological spectrum. That's what he was there to be asked questions about. You mentioned the Fed, Tom. So, Aaron, if you will, sir, let's take cut M, as in Mary. This is a little bit of a longer cut, but this is the question about preserving the independence of the Federal Reserve. Let's take a listen.
Let me ask you a very factual question. The Federal Reserve,
yeah.
You say you don't want interest rates to go higher. You've gone backwards and forwards about whether you want to keep Jerome Powell as chair of the Federal Reserve. His term as chair runs on to May 2026. Would you seek to remove or demote him?
Look, I think it's the greatest job in government. You show up to the office once a month and you say, let's see, flip a coin. And everybody talks about you like you're a god. Oh, what will he do? I mean, before, the guy used to walk into my office, he was like begging. Oh, he was fine.
But you talked about removing him once.
I did, because he was keeping the rates too high.
Yeah.
And I was right.
And you would do that again?
In fact, he actually dropped them too much when I did this, because I said I was threatening to terminate him. There was a question as to whether or not you could. And there was an article in the New York Times, two half pages. One page said I can do it by lawyers. One half page said I couldn't. And that was enough for him. And he dropped the hell out of the rates. He dropped them too much. He dropped them actually too much. Okay. Here's the story. I think that if you're a very good president with good sense, you should be able to at least talk to him. I don't say make the decision at all, but I've been a very successful businessman. I've done really good, much better. Now people are understanding how good I've done because they're seeing it real, much better than the fake news wants to give me credit for. I think I have the right to say, as a very good businessman and somebody that's used a lot of sense, I think I have the right to say that, you know, I think I'm better than he would be. I think I'm better than most people would be in that position.
Yeah, no, Donald Trump, you would not be better than any of the modern Federal Reserve chairs. I don't want Donald Trump setting interest rate policy for the United States. I just don't. The interest rate policy of the United States of America should not be driven by that guy's political whims.
And this is a combination of him, you know, sort of doubling down on attacking the experts, that, yeah, as if the experts don't know, or if I watch a YouTube video on interest rates, I can now run the Fed. It's just astounding. I mean, the amazing part is he thinks it's simple, but he doesn't even know all the components that go into the Fed's decision.
And he also doesn't recognize, listen, when the Fed is looking at it, when their target interest rate or is around 2.5%, that's what, between 2 and 2.5%, 2.3, sometimes a little more, they balance that with what's going on with employment, right? Yes. And that is their goal, to balance sort of the desire for full employment as it is defined by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as well as what the inflationary or interest rate environment is for the country. And the Fed should always err on the more conservative or less risky tack. That is, yes, literally a central bank's job, whether it's the European Central Bank or the Federal Reserve here in the United States.
But the Fed also understands that deflation is a much bigger issue than inflation. And to guard against that, especially what's happening with China. But Maggie, you already know this, there's a yield curve, and mortgage, yes, rates are driven off the 10-year, not the Fed funds rate. And that market rate is set by the economy. It's based on people trading every single day. So when you follow and understand the yield curve, you understand that the market is already setting interest rates that most people borrow when it comes to big things.
Yeah, those sorts of statements, while they are certainly red meat applause lines for those predisposed to think that whatever Donald Trump says is gospel, does not make for sound economic policy. It just doesn't. The fact that he thinks so is frightening. And any CEO of a major company and any economist will tell you that you need the Fed to remain independent, period, full stop. Folks, that's Tom Paulswitz, my special guest host for this first hour of the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're going to come back with more sound from Trump's comments, as indecipherably gobbledygookish as they may be, from the Chicago Economic Forum on Tuesday. Keep it locked. More coming up here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'ma keep on running, cause the winner don't quit on themselves.